All right, good morning. First things first, somebody in this room is going to win a phone. If you don't have a card, if Ryan didn't give you a card and you walked in through that door and he didn't see you, make sure you get a card and fill it in so you can win it by the end of this session. My name is Alan Mius. I work in the Windows Phone division. I'm here with Robert Hoover over there. Robert also works in the Windows Phone division, and he's a technical writer for us, so he writes white papers for IT pros. And he asked me to tell you that there is a new white paper on security coming out, a deep dive on security that's going to be published soon. He's going to publish it soon on our windowsphone.com business website. And you're going to find these resources under the technical resources page in the security session. You can already download papers there if you need more information. And that's where Robert lives. So let's talk about mobile security in the enterprise and Windows Phone and how Windows Phone stands up to the competition, if you want, in terms of security. I do have a Windows Phone here, and I'll do a few very small demos. Security is very difficult to demonstrate. I don't know if you ever tried demonstrating encryption, for example. It's a difficult thing to demonstrate, right? But anyway, we'll talk it through. Windows Phone, as you probably all know, is based on the same core technologies, OS technologies that Windows 8 is built off, Windows RT is built off, and the OS of the Xbox One is built off now, right? So Microsoft is moving to one converged OS strategy and code base across the company for all our clients, as well as obviously server and service and web services and across the board. What I want to do in this session is specifically talk about some of these core technologies and the security infrastructure on the phone that we have and how it applies to you as IT professionals, developers in a business environment, and how it influences your users as such. Because obviously security is probably one of the highest priorities. Highest priorities you have as IT professionals when you look at mobility and how mobile devices coming from all sources, consumerization of IT, bring your own device, whatever acronym you want to apply to it. It's a scary situation sometimes, right? So you need to protect the information that your company owns, the IP, information from your customers and partners. All kinds of information needs to be protected. And how do you do that in a mobile environment? And specifically Windows Phone 8, how does it stand up in this environment? Now, when we think about security on Windows Phone, these are the main things we think about. And the first thing we think about, maybe a little weird, is how do we support an end-user experience that is rich and enhancing and that the user likes? Because you can develop all kinds of technologies that nobody wants to use because they're just not user-friendly, right? So whenever we think about security, we also think about how is this going to impact the user? What does this mean for the user? And how do we balance this with making sure the user is safe? And the user with everything he does on the phone, obviously, right? And then a third thing that we think about is if we want to have a rich ecosystem of developers and hundreds of thousands of apps in our store and have you as businesses, organizations develop line of business applications that run on a phone, do you trust this platform? Are you going to say, yes, I can trust a platform to develop an app on that does consumer banking, right? Or healthcare records for a user and all those kind of things. And then, obviously, there are lots of regulations out there and business policies that need to be compliant with, depending on the industry you work in, on the country you live in, and those kind of things. And we need to make sure we comply with those as best as possible, or say we don't. So I want to take this from the bottoms up. When you think about a Windows phone, the first thing you think about, it's a device, right? You hold it in your hand. So let's look at the hardware. And do we have secure hardware? Because that's what secure boot is all about, making sure that the device you are holding there, the hardware, the firmware, and the operating system that runs on top of it is actually trustworthy. You can actually say, hey, I know what I have here. It's not compromised. There are no rootkits in here. The moment I boot this phone up, this OS up, it isn't compromised and somebody's already monitoring everything I'm doing or that is being done on the phone. To implement that, we implement what we generically call secure boot or trusted boot. And it's very comparable or the same, actually, as you see in Windows 8 PCs or tablets or RT tablets. The key is here to make sure we have trust that everything on top of it is trustworthy, that we can build on that. Secure boot starts with a secure implementation on the SOC. We, on Windows Phone OS, we are only working with Qualcomm SOCs, right? Only Qualcomm SOCs. No other producers of the SOC on the Windows Phone are supported at this point in time. And it starts with the SOC and making sure that the bootloader in the SOC is actually a secure bootloader. So we work closely with Qualcomm to make sure that there is a threat modeling done on the bootloader like we do with all Microsoft software, and that the SOC, when it initiates, is actually a properly signed, has a properly signed bootloader for the SOC itself. At the production time, a number of things happen to make sure that the design is not only a design, but it's also well implemented as such. The SOC initiates the UEFI environment, and UEFI, I'll talk about it in a minute more in detail, is a standard implementation of a new kind of BIOS, as you probably all know. That initiates the hardware. And this BIOS, or the UEFI BIOS, has also a secure implementation, a secure specification of it. And the SOC initiates the UEFI environment to help go through a full chain, key chain, from the early bootloader into the UEFI environment. So the secure boot process starts with the power on button, the firmware bootloader, the SOC vendor, Qualcomm in this case, right, needs to boot that bootloader in the SOC, and we work with them to have a properly signed bootloader within the SOC itself that is delivered to the OEMs. When the power on button is loaded, the SOC will start a UEFI environment. UEFI is an application platform. We do a secure implementation of that application platform, and you can go to this website here. It's an industry consortium that a number of people are part of, including Apple. Apple uses UEFI in iMacs, not in the iOS devices, and others, right? Anybody can be part of this, follow this implementation. It's a standard implementation, and if you want to read the specs, etc., you're free to do that, if you have time to do all that. But it's a standard implementation that we also have on Windows Phone, Windows RT, Windows 8 PCs that support UEFI, etc. So this application platform starts, and the secure implementation of it makes sure that the Windows Boot Manager, which is the actual OS boot manager, is also a UEFI component that we deliver into the OS or into the phone as such, is a secure environment. And the Windows OS can boot out of that boot manager, or can boot a update OS boot, a secure update OS boot. When an update comes down from over the air into the phone, is staged, the phone can reboot in this secure OS update environment. It's a mini OS that installs the full OS on the phone, the full image of the OS on the phone. Whenever something goes wrong in the boot environment, the phone will go into flash mode, right? And you may have seen some pictures on the internet of people trying to hack a Windows Phone 8 or where there was a hardware failure on a Windows Phone 8 phone, and the phone went into this flash mode situation and the user couldn't do anything with it anymore. A OEM or a mobile operator can take this device and then reflash it if there is no hardware malfunction. If it's a other software malfunction, they can reflash the phone with a recognized image as such that is recognized by the UEFI environment. So during manufacturing, if we think about the bootloader, the SOC, the UEFI environment, during manufacturing, all this is staged on a phone. And what's important to see is that during manufacturing, there are a number of keys signed or keys filed away in the hardware, in the SOC environment. Fuses are blown. The UEFI key chain or the UEFI database is provisioned within the SOC environment and stored safely on the phone. There is a secure chain or a secure signing chain of keys being used to sign all these components from the start that are fused away within every phone. Every phone has unique keys, so that every phone becomes a unique device, but also a secure and unique device. So when an update comes down and it reflashes the phone with an image, that image needs to be signed with the proper keys by Microsoft before the image can actually be installed and then run on the phone itself, right? You need to be able to break that keychain to be able to compromise the phone if you want. I'll talk more about how we protect the phone against breaking this keychain in a minute. So there is no bypass for the user for a secure boot. The user cannot turn it off. You cannot turn it off. Nobody can really turn it off. If secure boot is turned off, the phone becomes if it would be turned off, the phone would become a non-functional phone. It would display an image, a not-for-resale image, because we sometimes use non-secure boot phones for testing with mobile operators. So it's very easy to recognize a phone like that. When it boots up, it wouldn't say Windows Phone 8. It would say not for resale Windows Phone 8. On top of that, all the code that runs on Windows Phone in the operating system, and actually also in the application space, needs to be properly signed. All the code coming from an OEM, mobile operator, that is installed, pre-installed on a phone and runs on a phone, needs to be signed by Microsoft. The code is delivered to Microsoft and Microsoft Lab, signing lab. All this code is properly signed by Microsoft before it can go out. So if you see a Windows Phone 8 that gets an update, these updates always go through Microsoft before they get to a phone, and we properly check and sign these updates and components. Every component that runs on the phone is signed by Microsoft. This is a little different with Windows Phone 7. Where only we signed our own code. We didn't sign OEM code or mobile operator binaries that are on the phone. Today we do for all. And again, this is a protection to make sure that we, when we go up from the hardware up into the operating system, that everything is properly signed with one signed away keychain on the phone itself. Now, how do applications, if we go a layer up, we have a secure hardware, secure firmware, secure operating system. How do applications run on top of that? How do we make sure they are safe and they also are not a vulnerability to other applications in the phone? With Windows Phone, we implement what we call a chamber model, a security chamber model. And this security chamber model is implemented throughout the operating system and all the applications on top of it. We have a trusted computing base that has the, is actually the master, if you can call it that way, right? Has the security database, and the security policy settings are all stored within the security policy database that's controlled by the trusted computing base. It gives you policy database can be updated by the Windows Phone installer. Whenever an application is installed on the operating system, the policy database will get additional rules that define what are the capabilities that an application can use, right? What is the application? What does it want to do? On what resource does it want to do it? The chamber model creates security boundaries within which an application can run. It provides an isolated environment for the application as well as isolated storage for that application. So it sandboxes the application within this chamber. And it defines the rules that the application can use. Rules are defined by the application's capabilities. We have a capability model whereby an application needs to define, I want to be able to place a call. I want to be able to send a text message. I want to be able to store a record in a database. Those kind of things are all the capabilities. We'll talk about a little bit more about in the next slide. And these capabilities define the rules that the application needs. And the rules or the chambers are actually built on a Windows account technology that you may know. You log into your Windows system as an account, right? You type in your account name and your password. A chamber is basically an account in Windows. It has the same privileges as an account defined by its capabilities, and all accounts are isolated from each other. The more capabilities you want, you can say, the more privileges you get, and they are defined within that chamber. So these capabilities in an application, when it's installed from the store or when it's installed from your private store, we have a session tomorrow morning, same time here, 8:30, about applications written by enterprises or for enterprises, private software distribution, and how that works, how the code signing works, etc. And an application, your private application or a public store application, needs to have a manifest that defines what the application is, who the vendor is, etc., plus what the capabilities are that this application needs. And these capabilities define its chamber when it is installed. The Windows installer will create a chamber, update the security database, and create the isolated storage for an application as such. Capabilities for public applications, the manifest is actually shown within the Windows Phone Store. If you go and you look at, browse to it, you look at an application, you will see what the capabilities are in the details page of that specific application. Capabilities are a very long list of things that a application can do. There are classes of capabilities and really detailed ones. There are hundreds of them, actually. And there are a few classes of capabilities. Probably clicked too many. Right. Classes of capabilities. There are the usual capabilities that you will see on the MSDN page that define what a ISV, a software vendor, a creator of apps, can do, as well as you as an enterprise can do, what capabilities you can use. And you will, if you download the SDK and install the SDK on a PC, the library is available, the API is available, etc., within the development environment, define the capabilities that you can use. You cannot use any other capabilities on the phone. OEMs and mobile operators have some additional capabilities. that they use. We try to limit that set as much as possible and provide as much functionality as we can in the operating system that they don't have to do it, but they need some capabilities in terms of network management, for example, from a mobile operator perspective, et cetera, to be able to manage those APN settings and so forth, roaming settings that they have, et cetera. They need to be able to manage or access those capabilities through their own applications. And obviously, we have a set of applications that are capabilities that the operating system is using that are not available to anybody else for use. And we guard them very well, right? But those are the capability classes that define the privileges that an application needs. Now, all applications are, let me finish the slide. All applications that get submitted to Microsoft for the store, public applications, are certified by us, certified against a set of policies that we have for applications in terms of how an application looks, interacts with the user, etc., but also certified and scanned for malware as such. We use a number of malware scanning tools to do that and to make sure that the packages that are delivered to us are actually not malware packages, right, before they get uploaded into the store, etc. There's also a developer verification process done by VeriSign for us in terms of who is the developer, what are they doing, etc. Tomorrow we'll talk about that process for you as an enterprise. When you want to be a developer as an enterprise and do private software distribution on Windows Phone, you will need to go through a registration and verification process and receive a certificate, etc. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning in the app management session. Then once an app gets into the store, the app is automatically encrypted at time that the user downloads the app, and then decrypted before it gets when it gets installed on the phone. So there is no attack, an over-the-air attack, if you want, where a man in the middle would capture an application and modify it before it gets to the phone. They will need to be able to decrypt that application on the fly, too, if they want to exploit such a situation, right? So packages are encrypted before they are sent to the phone and decrypted on the phone at installation. All Windows Phone apps can be revoked by us. We can remotely disable a Windows Phone app whenever we discover a vulnerability or a behavior that is not within policy or a malware type of setup. We will revoke an application if that is required. And that is disabling the application. We do not uninstall. It will just be disabled. It will still be on the phone, but the user will not be able to execute it in any way such. And then, obviously, as we talked about it, all these applications run within their own sandbox, storage as well as runtime sandbox. They cannot communicate with each other. They cannot share data with each other. They cannot go and read data from another application or try to access a process from another application. That is what the sandboxing in chamber model does as such. And then I put something on this slide that if I go to a lawyer, I should probably not put on the slide, because I said jailbreaks are virtually impossible, right? Impossible is not the right word in legal terms. So maybe very difficult, let's put it that way. Jailbreaks, what does it mean? It means we have a jailed phone, right? Windows Phone is a jailed phone. Because the only way you can install an application on it is by going to the Windows Phone store, download the application, purchase the application, install it on the phone. There's no way you can break that chain unless you are a registered developer and unlock your phone so you can install applications from your development environment onto your test phones. That's one way to sideload an application. But you're a registered developer if you want to do that at Microsoft. You're verified, etc. Or you're an enterprise, And again, if you want to sideload an application, you need an enterprise registration and all that kind of stuff we'll talk about tomorrow. You get verified, you get a certificate that belongs to you that you can sign your applications with before you can install them on the phone as such. That is virtually any other jailbreaks have not been seen on Windows Phone yet, different from other platforms, obviously. Not saying it is totally impossible, it's virtually impossible, because what we do with the secure boot and the full stack of our software from the hardware up into the operating system, up into sandboxing applications within their chamber, means that it's very difficult to break that chain to be able to install an application on Windows Phone that gets out of its sandbox, gets high privileges, higher than the chamber it is created in, which is virtually impossible, to be able to do something that changes the security database in the trusted computing base. Right? If you go in your mind through the process that would be needed to do all that, you would have to find a bug, basically, in the trusted computing database to be able to jailbreak Windows Phone. Not saying it's totally impossible, but it's really very difficult to do. A few people have tried. There was an F-Secure guy in Finland, I think, who tried, and you may have seen some tweeting around Windows Phone asking for the Windows 8 installation DVDs to reinstall the operating system, which was a joke on the internet, because how can you read a DVD on a Windows Phone, right? But anyway, that was the situation that he ended up in by trying to hack into the operating system itself and jailbreak it as such. Now, we have a secure operating system we build on, and obviously we also want to protect all the data that the applications and the operating system itself are using. We have, with Windows Phone, we have BitLocker device encryption or disk encryption on the phone that fully encrypts the both volumes, disk volumes we have, the OS volume and the data volume, on a phone as such, and fully encrypts it with device encryption. There obviously is a TPM on the phone that stores all the secrets. The TPM is provisioned at first initiation, if you want, of the phone and ready to go whenever boot the IT pro decides to turn on device encryption. Device encryption is not turned on by default on the phone, and the user cannot turn it on interactively. You have to do it using a mobile device management system or Exchange Active Sync as such. Policies in Exchange Active Sync enable you to set device encryption, as well as policies in a mobile device management system enable you to set device encryption on. All the internal storage is encrypted. There is no user experience for encryption. The only way a user can see that his phone is encrypted is by entering my very secret code now, going into the settings menu, go to the phone storage. It's loading the service. This is not a service that is standardly loaded to show the user what the storage is. And as you can see here, next to internal, it says encrypted, right? This is my phone, so at Microsoft, we have a policy, encrypt your phone. Whatever phone you're using, we have a bring your own device policy. And if it doesn't support encryption, you won't be able to use the phone. But this phone is encrypted. For the user, there is no, if you turn encryption on, there is no user experience, right? The user won't see it. The phone won't reboot. It will start encrypting for the phone until it's encrypted. You have a question? Yes, absolutely, yes. So if you go to our website and you go to business apps, it just changed, so I'm trying to find my way. No, I need to go into technical resources. And there is a document here. Oh, you cannot see it. My apologies. So on the website, on the top, you go to technical resources, and you have a Enterprise Device Management Protocol for Windows Phone document here that describes all the things a mobile device management system can do and what a protocol is to do it. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, because it's not an API-based mobile device management infrastructure we have on the phone. It's a protocol-based mobile device management system. It's based on OMADM, and specifically ThinkML 1.2. That is also a public standard for mobile device management. Has been for about 25 years. Was supported in Windows Mobile 6.1 and Symbian. So there is no user experience for encryption. The device just encrypts and doesn't show any interaction for the user, doesn't reboot, etc. On top of device encryption, an additional functionality or technology we support on Windows Phone to protect data. For those who have deployed rights management services in Windows Phone 8, and that applies to Exchange Server, that applies to SharePoint Server, applies to Office documents. In general, rights management services helps to protect the information stored in a document or in an email. It allows the user to say, this document cannot be printed for, cannot be copied from, etc. Or it allows the user to say, do not forward this email, do not add additional people or recipients to this email, etc. We support this technology on Windows Phone with Exchange Server 2010 and Office 365, obviously, as well as SharePoint Server 2010 and higher, and the Office suite of documents. It allows you to protect documents and make sure they don't leave your company as such when they are private to your environment. And the question is there a capability to do a screenshot or something like that, right? No. So whenever you have an encrypted document, et cetera, on Windows Phone and you try to do a screenshot of it, it will not allow you to do that. Exact the same way as on a Windows PC. When a rights management document or email is open, you will print screen or print capture will be disabled on the phone. On the device as such. Internet Explorer, we are running Internet Explorer 10 HTML5 browser on the phone. It's the same Internet Explorer that runs on a PC, on an RT tablet anyway. So it's ARM-based, obviously. It does implement the same smart screen technology that the desktop applies. So when I would click the URL down here and go to the browser, you see here a website that is, as you see, a test website that we use for testing malware. And it looks like a banking website where you give, obviously, your social security number and your banking number and the password and all that kind of great stuff people can use, right? I can go to my phone here. And go to the exact same website, right? And it's the same malware website. So usually in Windows Phone settings, advanced, smart screen is turned on. I turn it off to show you the website on the phone. And if I do a refresh, and I'll get the message on the phone that, oops, this is a malware website. We would propose you not to go here at all. And it's nice in red, so people will recognize that there is an alert going on, right? And they shouldn't go any further on this website as such. So we use the same smart screen technology on the phone. It creates a hash of a database that we maintain at Microsoft in the cloud of all known malware websites in the world. And we daily scan and add websites to this database. And the hashes of these websites or the signature of the website is downloaded on a regular basis to the phone to update the phone and make it available immediately on the phone. So the phone doesn't have to go up to the website to check to our service to check every website. It is actually an update service we have that updates it on the phone itself in the background. And then, obviously, IE is a lockdown version of the Internet Explorer. It does not support any plugin architecture for ActiveX, etc. And it does not support Flash. Both are obvious sources of malware that are running on the internet or being available on the internet. So the first protection smart screen protects against, let's call that, a social engineering type of things. And the second one really protects against an inappropriate download of plugins, etc., virus type of things within the browser environment. And the browser itself runs within its own sandbox, just like any other application on the phone. Like any other service on the phone, actually, all run in their own chamber with their own capabilities. And to exploit IE still leaves you within the IE sandbox with the least privileged environment, not being able to elevate your privileges and get higher up in the hierarchy if you want. Now, all this is great, right, until the user loses his phone. And the phone is not locked, right? Encrypted data is great, but if you can just pick up the phone and read everything, it doesn't really matter, right? So obviously, you need to be able to manage the phone to set policy on the phone that properly protects the user from doing the wrong thing, even if they lose their phone. They need to be to set the policy. You need to be able to set policy of timeout, of the lock screen, requirement of a password, etc., so that you can lock the phone. We support Exchange Active Sync to do that with Exchange Server 2003 up to the current 2013, I believe, right, with EAS policies. It's still widely used by a lot of people that primarily do EAS policy management for email-based mobile devices. And then we also now support mobile device management or a native MDM client on the phone as such. The client on the phone, and we'll do a full enrollment tomorrow into tomorrow morning session. Oh, I need to go here, right? It's in the settings environment and all the way down called Company apps. This is the client. This is the only experience the user will ever have of the device management client on the phone. They will have to enter a identity and a password, and mobile device management server vendors can use this client to manage the device. The document I just showed specifies how to do this. In a device management system, you will unroll a device. The device will get a proper device certificate so that it is a known device now for you within a mobile device management system. And then you can apply policy and distribute software to it, etc., pull reports from the device as a known device. It's a simple user experience to go through. And the user experience obviously depends on who the vendor is. You always forget that. So it's a simple user experience for the user, and it depends on who the vendor is, as I said. Today, we are supported Windows Intune and System Center 2012 from Microsoft, Mobile Iron, AirWatch, ZenPrice, previously ZenPrice, now Citrix Xen Mobile. They were just purchased by Citrix. Symantec has a few products out that support Windows Phone 8, SAP Afaria, and a number of others are out there already. I'm sorry for those who, if anybody in the room works for one of these companies, my apologies, but you can always shout out that you support it too. Nobody? All right. So, yeah, there are others, and I know, for example, SOTI will be releasing pretty soon, and others have already released as such. From a policy perspective, these are the policies we generally support from an EAS perspective, right? If you see all the password policies, device encryption, disable storage card is something that needs to be done through a mobile device management system only, not through EAS. And then a mobile device management system as a set of other things they can configure, and that depends on the vendor on how widely and broadly they have implemented the configuration set that they support on Windows Phone. And that differs a little bit from vendor to vendor, so it's always good to look at those specific things that they support. But they can obviously unroll a device and then remotely un-unroll a device, which removes all the applications and the management settings on the device set there by the MDM system. They can also add applications and manage those applications as such. From a reporting perspective, they can report on what is in the device or on the device, who's using it, what is the ID, what OS version it is, et cetera, those kind of things that you need for your asset management setup. And then last but not least, what when something goes wrong, right? I said nearly impossible or something like that, virtually impossible. We always need to look at the impossible, right? When a device is lost, it needs to be remotely wiped or found. A user, when they have a live ID on the phone, they can find this phone by registering the phone on windowsphone.com so that they can map it on a map, have it made a large or a loud beep, if you want, so they know where the phone is, if they lost it somewhere in the couch or in the house or in the car. So it's easy to find for them. But if they can't find it, if it's lost completely or stolen, they can remotely wipe it themselves using web browser access to their Exchange server if it's EAS-based, or through they can call a mobile device management admin within your company that can wipe it for them remotely from a management console, being EAS or being an MDM-based management console. Question? Kind of. So the question is there a possibility for a enterprise type of wipe, a partial wipe of the information, configuration set, applications, documents, email, etc. that belongs to you as a company, right? That's basically your question, I believe. My answer would say, not yet, but what can we do today? Today we can un-unroll a device if it's an MDM unrolled device, and depending on the MDM system, right, you can also un-unroll the EAS client on the device. And I'm saying depending on the MDM system. I know that AirWatch and Mobile Iron support that. So they can provision the EAS client as well as remove the EAS client from the device. So that would remove also the email. They won't be able to remove certificates at this point in time that may have been installed by the MDM systems itself. They will be able to unenroll the device from the MDM system, and by doing that also remove all the enterprise applications that were installed, including their data. They will be removed and deleted on the device. So they can partially do an enterprise partial wipe, right? I don't know how to call it specifically. It's not a full enterprise wipe at this point in time, right? There may be a document stored on the phone that, or a URL to a SharePoint server on in the Office Hub, etc. Those things they cannot remove. They will remain on the phone. Right. So if it's something you want to unenroll automatically, it works partially. You will have to ask the user to do some additional things like reset the Office Hub, for example, right? So the data on the Office Hub is removed. So this is my Office Hub. You can see it. You cannot see it. Let's unplug the cable and plug it back in. That worked yesterday. Oh, wrong button. So in my Office Hub, you see that I have a number of SkyDrive elements and SkyDrive Pro elements and my documents here, etc. They are provisioned. So a remote wipe wouldn't remove that. The user would have to do this, go to Applications, go to Office, and reset Office. Which basically removes everything that is belongs to the Office Hub. So that's work in progress for us, I would say, right? Add those kind of things to be able to unenroll. The advantage of being Windows NT kernel based and Windows based is that we have an easier upgrade path moving forward to add additional functionality within this environment. We also have a protocol-based MDM system. The protocol will never change. We'll just add workloads that can be worked through the protocol itself with the MDM vendors. And whenever we add certain capabilities to the phone as such. Well, the Office Hub, if I go back. There it is. The Office Hub, as you can see, has a SkyDrive account, and that is my Live ID or Microsoft account environment that is provisioned on the phone, and which would enable me to store documents on the SkyDrive, right? My private, personal storage in the cloud at Microsoft. Well, documents in Office 365 and SkyDrive are not stored locally. They're always stored in the cloud. Obviously, you can be offline with a document, and then there is a sync process once you get back online. But the master copy is always in the cloud. And whenever you open a document and you haven't opened it for a while on the phone, it will go back and check if this is the latest version. And update the document if you want to do something with it on the phone itself.
So theoretically, you can also just change the password on your live account.
So you want to prevent the user from having access to SkyDrive in a live account or give them a corporate live account? Is that what you want to do?
No, I mean, we're talking about wiping the phone with a partial wipe, but that stuff still be on there. So
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you want to limit the functionality or be able to remove their access to a SkyDrive that you have probably provided. You have given them a corporate Microsoft account, so to speak, right? Because it's a corporate liable device. Okay. Yeah. Well, you could do that. Yeah, but it is manual work. If you have a lot of phones to do, you will have to pre-configure those phones with a live ID that you have created or that you know the password of, and not give them the password, right? Yeah. There's no requirement to have a live ID on Windows Phone, by the way. You don't require it. Obviously, if you don't put a live ID on Windows Phone, the user will not be able to install apps from the store or download music from Xbox Music or things like that, right? Yeah. Yeah.
If I give them a live ID, mm-hmm. they have access to the App Store.
Yeah.
If they'll connect it to SkyDrive, or
potentially. Yes. They could create a document on the phone and store it on the SkyDrive.
And then if they leave,
their document would still be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Now, it's very intentional of a user to go and try to copy a document because there is no copy function as such to be able to copy from a SharePoint site into a SkyDrive, right? They would have transferred it through email, then save it on the phone, then open it on the phone, and then save it to SkyDrive. It's a very intentional process. Now, I know users are sometimes very intentional. and we understand the issue around it. So we actually, if you really want these scenarios today, the best way, but it's a manual process, is to give them a phone that is pre-installed with a live ID that you have created with a password that you have created, and don't give them the password, right? So you control the live ID. It's a manual process, but you have a malintended employee, so to speak, right? You could follow up with that. You will probably have to have them sign a contract too, but you probably already do that. I know I signed my life away when I did it for Microsoft, so yeah. So Windows updates, we do control all updates to Windows phones through Windows Update. We do get updates from OEMs and mobile operators and package them up and then put them through Windows Update and distribute them. In principle, or I should say all Windows phones are upgradable and will be upgradable in the foreseeable future, right? So we don't foresee that there is any reason why a existing Windows phone will not get upgrades for the next number of months. I need to say months, I believe, legally, right? what is important to see is that although we control updates, this is a partnership. This is not necessarily a dictatorship, right? We need to work with our OEMs and mobile operators to get these updates through because they want to control some of these channel models, etc. There are business drivers in this world that are firmly placing because they mobile operators want to sell new phones every month, right? And OEMs too, and we too. But we need to make sure that we work with our partners through this channel, and we have we have prime partners and we have secondary partners worldwide, if you want. Most of the US mobile operators are prime partners and they have a say about updates and when updates are released and how they are staged as such. So updates are coming down and will be continue to come down. Important for updates is that we have a clause in this partnership that enables us to push a high critical secure update through the channel. If we work closely with MSRC and the Windows team, right, our big brother Windows, so to speak, for whenever there is a highly critical security bug that needs to be fixed, we can push that security bug within 24 hours if we have a fix for it, right? Just like on Windows, if we need to do it, we can push this through. The partnership allows us to do that worldwide on any phone. And from a security perspective, this is important. From a user functionality perspective, we go through a longer process that the partnership requires us with reviews, et cetera, and staging of updates. A user can initiate an update, and they will obviously get a toast, which is a pop-up. Oh, shouldn't have done that. wrong button. Too many buttons on this thing. So a user gets a toast whenever an update is available, right? A pop-up that says update is available. You can install it. The update will be trickled down for the user in the background if they don't take any action. But the user can also initiate an update. Go to Windows Phone, update in the setting, push look for updates, and it will go up to Windows Update Services to check if an update is available, download it, and propose the user to install it, right? There is no push. We do not push the update to the device in the sense that we require an update. The user is always in control of an update. You can check what OS version and what update the system is in if you're using an MDM system, because then you can query all devices for what OS version they are on to see if they have the latest update or not. And if you want to know which updates are available, you go to windowsphone.com. Oh, let's go here and to the top side in the how-tos. And the Windows Phone update history, and will give you what updates are available, what is the latest version number of the OS. And then we talked about application revocation as a remediation method for store applications as such. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but tomorrow we have a session on enterprise applications, and we'll talk about enterprise application revocation too, because that exists too, and we can also revoke an enterprise. So when we have this private signing method available for applications, and we discover somewhere in, let's say, Syria or the Ukraine or wherever we want to go these days, that there is all of a sudden a 6 million user enterprise that distributes applications to 6 million users, which for us means another marketplace. We will revoke the certificate of that marketplace, and all the applications will be disabled. So we have the mechanism to do that too, if there anywhere pops up something like that. So these are my takeaways. We built a secure operating system that enables the OS to boot on top of secure hardware that we deliver together with our OEMs. In this secure OS, we have a security model that builds on sandboxing and least privilege. So whenever an exploit in an application or an OS service is discovered and exploited, we know exactly what the capabilities are of that application or OS service and can remediate that very quickly, because we know what these services across the OS can do and not do. We know what the impact is. And all binaries are signed by Microsoft. They can only run when they are signed by Microsoft. It's imperative, I think, for a secure enterprise to turn encryption on and to manage the device using MDM services to create a secure bring-your-own-device environment, if you want, with Windows Phone 8 as a key takeaway. We have some more sessions. Tomorrow morning, I'm doing the Manage Windows Phone Enterprise Apps together with Robert. But there are other Windows Phone sessions today on development, et cetera. Windowsphone.com/business is your source for all things, and you can obviously win a phone today, but before we do that, we have some more time for questions or feedback, even. Yes, we covered that yesterday in our session around collaboration, but yes, you can, and there are multiple types of certificates, right? MDM enrollment requires a device certificate, and the MDM system will be able to do that. If you want SSL certificates to for a reverse proxy setup, you can install SSL certificates using email or a web browser setup. the full chain. You can have it password protected, etc. On there is a white paper on it on this website. Where were we? In the one step further, in the technical resources, there is a Windows Phone 8 certificate white paper right here on what is possible and what can be done. And then there are a few MDM systems that also enable you to install user certificates for example, EAS authentication. You can do user certificates with a web browser too if you want to do that for EAS authentication. And that's the only scenario, I should say, for user certificates that we support today. There was somebody else raising his hand. Yes, so no other user certs than EAS at this point in time.
So that's the takeaway from Microsoft feedback back to you guys, for mature PKI organizations such as financial institutions and whatnot that have a very mature PKI infrastructure, we need a way to deploy those user certificates for doing radius authentication.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need a way to pull those certificates off for us.
Or renew them and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely understood. So your feedback is we need a rich certificate management solution for Windows Phone so we can install, revoke, update certificates, not just for SSL, user certificates, etc. And you want to use them for other things, right? Well, general authentication of the user against any network resource, basically, being it browser-based or application-based or SharePoint and those kind of things. Fully understood. Any other questions? Amazing. Nope, nobody wants a VPN? Okay. Okay. Question, yes.
In the Exchange 2010 EAS policy,
yes,
we found that in order to get Windows 8 phones from Verizon to accept the policy, we had to go in and enable to allow non-provisional devices.
That is not required.
Okay.
I don't know why you would. But it's probably some other, and the easiest thing is to figure out what it is that is blocking you. I'm just thinking Verizon, that's the 822, right? Nokia 822 or an X, an 8X, or what do they have? Say again? Oh, that's brand new. And is that the one you were working with, the 928? Yeah, it depends a little bit on the SD card. That's the main thing I've seen with customers who turn on the SD card encryption, and if the phone has an SD card, it will not encrypt and the phone will fail the policy, right? Because the SD card is not encrypted on Windows Phone 8, never. If you turn the device encryption on, it will only encrypt the internal storage. You can disable an SD card, through policy, but not through EAS. And then another thing that mitigates the risk of SD cards is that SD cards in Windows Phone are only used for pictures, music, and video. Nothing else is stored on an SD card. There are no applications, no documents, nothing else on the SD card. So the risk is minimal. But I understand that there are a number of companies who say, I also want to block pictures, right? Because people take pictures in meetings and what have you, or they take pictures for their job because they're in the field and they're serving something and stuff like that. And if it's stored on an SD card, I still want to be able to block or encrypt those kind of things. But there are lots of controls in Windows Phone to not store sensitive information on an SD card, but pictures can be sensitive, obviously. So I think it's probably another EAS conflict that you have with the Verizon phones there, some other conflict. And an easy thing to do is if you have, it will return an error code when you try to sync the phone, correct? So it should have a pop-up and say some error code. The easy thing is to copy the error code and go to Windows Phone forum, in the support forum, and look for the error code that, right there to see what the potential error or reasons for it is, such. Other questions? So you needed VPN day one? Yes, we understand. I'm on a public podium here, and I'm not announcing anything at this point in time, but we understand your feedback. Okay. Yeah.
All right, can I get everybody to take the forms I gave you and hand them to the center of the aisle? I'm going to cup them up and down and collect them.
Yeah. Am I going to be the innocent hand and I have to pull the card? Ugly what? Oh, I can't see it. Oh. Hmm. No more cards, last chance. Everybody handed in this card. I don't want to see it.
All right, pick a card, any card.
Oh, it's Fanny Houterman.